At least I knew where it was. You know, I think just about every preacher, if they're honest, they'll tell you that they have dreams at night. Oh, sorry, children, it's time for y'all to. I think the preachers will tell you that we have dreams at night about things that could happen that we don't want to happen during the sermon. So that was one of them. Look at all them kids, y'all. Good night. I like it. I think they got reinforcements going with them. Okay, here we go. Praise the Lord for that. Well, I think it's a beautiful Sunday morning, y'all. Everything's been going well. Can one of y'all take this microphone out of the middle of the room, please? Just because it's distracting to me and everybody else. Just set it off to the side somewhere. Please, thank you. If you're visiting with us, once again, I want to welcome you and hope you're blessed by being with us. And I hope you've noticed by now that we ain't perfect. We just do what we do and it happens. And it's hopefully that honors the Lord and blesses each other. And, you know, Conrad made a lot of good points during his communion meditation. And, you know, I should have just let him do the opening of my sermon, and I could have just rolled right on with it. But it makes sense because we're all talking about the same thing, aren't we? You know, and we do communion here at this church every Sunday, and we do that in remembrance of the sacrifice that was made for our freedom, for our victory, right? And I wonder, how often do we, in general, we the believers, think about the resurrection, right? We know that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. We know that he came out of the grave. We know it. At least once a year we know it. Most of us know it all the time, right? It's a thing that we know. It's a thing that we believe, right? It's part of what we believe about Jesus. But I guess the question when I'm asking, how often do we think about it or do we really know it? I guess what I'm asking is, are we living our lives because our Savior came out of that grave? Every day. Every part of our days, our good times, our bad times. Does our witness as believers, wherever your life takes you, does it reflect not only that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, not only that we believe that he died on the cross for our sins, but that we believe that he came back from the dead, right? We have to go all the way with that. I think that's kind of sort of what Conrad was bringing up. We have to go all the way. You can't just say acknowledge it as if it's just a small part of the whole package, you know? How many of y'all, when you open up a, make sure this microphone's on, please, Jay, just because I hear it cutting in and out. When we open up a package we get from Amazon or wherever you ordered it from, you're looking for the main thing you ordered. For some of y'all, it's the main things, but that's not my problem. But you're looking for that one, that thing, right? And you're going to just start throwing stuff out of the box until you get to that, whatever that thing is. Most of it's packaging materials, but maybe there's something important that goes with it and you don't realize it because you've thrown it out because you want the main thing. And I just want to challenge us to prayerfully consider asking the Lord to never let us throw the resurrection out with the packaging. All right. Just not that we're doing that, but we have, if people are going to know about Jesus, they need to see all of him in us. We need to see it in each other. All right. And, you know, sometimes I'm up here playing this guitar and I realize, right in the middle of it, I realize, you know what? These people sound better without me playing that guitar. And it's true today. Y'all were singing that song, and it was amazing. It was really amazing, powerful. And I think that's what it means to let all of Jesus come out of us when we get like that. Music or not music, you know, a cappella or whatever. The same thing is true in our lives. Do you realize that there are people in the world that still reject the resurrection? They still won't Let it be true. There's some reason they're just hung up on, okay, it's not possible. It's just, how is that possible? For a person, a human being, to die, be put in a grave, and then suddenly be walking around the planet again. We talked about that this morning at our sunrise service, how Mary Magdalene and a couple of the disciples showed up trying to figure out why somebody moved Jesus' body. Because they couldn't get their mind on, maybe nobody moved him, maybe he moved himself, maybe he came out of the grave himself, you see. And we know for a fact that it's not maybe, it is, that that's what happened. Many reject Jesus because of the resurrection. Many, there's a lot of people that acknowledge the resurrection, but they're not pursuing the deep understanding that is necessary for the believer to live the Christian life and go into the world and make disciples. What if somebody asked any one of us, say, why do you believe in Jesus and why should I believe in Jesus? Why should I accept him as Lord and Savior? Why do I believe he's real at all? Just because some Bible tells me that, you see. No one's going to believe what you say to them unless you actually believe it. Right? Unless you actually believe what you're saying, by the way you live and by the way you talk and by the way that they can see it all over you, they're going to believe you, and then they're going to consider what the Word of God says. That's just the facts. We're the door that people walk to get to God. That's what God said. Go into the world and make disciples. Tell people who I am. And if you can get their attention and we can point them to Jesus, then all the rest of the work is done by him, right? He'll for sure show himself to people. And once they start realizing that maybe this Bible might be true, maybe the Word of God is absolutely true, and maybe it might apply to me, maybe I need a Savior, and where can I find one? And it's our job, believers, to help people understand that you don't just need any Savior. You don't need any made-up Jesus. You need a Savior that's risen from the dead, that's conquered death, that showed us the way to do that, the only way to do that. All right, so I want to read First Corinthians chapter 15 a little bit. I'm going to try to move through this because the entire chapter is relevant to this conversation. We're not going to do the entire chapter. I'm doing y'all a favor. That was a dramatic pause so y'all could just say amen. It's not going to be all day. Trying to help y'all out. I'm going to read the first four verses really quickly right now. Now it says verse 15. Did I get that on there? Oh, no. Okay. Let's just read it. Now I make known to you, brethren. Okay, first off, the Corinthian church, they had a lot of problems. They were struggling to get it going in a lot of ways, all right? So they needed to hear all of this because this is the key to fixing a lot more of their problems that don't have nothing to do with this, all right? They were missing some things, and they were being taught some wrong things, and they're just people. They were just people trying to figure it out. And here's Paul. He says, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." So we can look at this writing to the Corinthian believers as a statement of fact, according to Paul. Paul's saying to them, hey, I preached this to y'all. Y'all received it. This is why you're saved. This is why I'm saved, because I believe this. I'm telling you what I believed, and you believed me when I said it was true because it's a fact. I like how he put in there, it's like, unless your faith was just playing around and it wasn't real, then you got other issues. But notice he doesn't just say you're saved because Jesus is Lord. He doesn't just say you're saved because Jesus died on the cross. Right. He was buried and he was raised on the third day. And notice he keeps saying according to the scriptures, according to what was prophesied in what they had in hand. They had the truth from the what we call the Old Testament. So he's pointing them to, hey, don't take my word for it. This is, look back at what God said would happen, and it happened. And you believed it. And the question to them was, do you really believe it? Do you really believe it? There's three things that I'm hoping to point out, remind us of, when it comes to the resurrection of our Savior. I don't know how I got only three, but here they are. Before Jesus died on the cross, before Jesus came into the world, all of mankind, all of humankind was a fallen group of God's creation. Okay? We can all, everybody seems to say amen to that. Almost everybody. When Jesus came into the world, as God promised, as God prophesied, as God laid out a bunch of times over and over again, here's how I'm going to make the problem of sin go away, people could hardly take it in. They could hardly believe that he was the Messiah. Remember last week, Palm Sunday, we were talking about how they thought they wanted him to be the king, but not that kind of king. Right? They wanted him, and they couldn't understand what was about to happen. They didn't even realize the need for what was about to happen. Even though God gave them all the information, the problem is sin blinds us. Sin puts a darkness in front of our eyes. And that's why people can't accept the resurrection today. Do you realize that most of the issue for most people is if I accept this truth about the resurrection of Jesus, then I have to deal with what that means about me. Right? Why is there even a Savior who died on the cross? And if he did resurrect from the dead, then everything that's said about that must be true, which means I must need him. And if you admit that, then you have to automatically admit, I need him because I've sinned against God. And who wants to admit that, really? Nobody really wants to admit. We all who are saved, we all have done that. We all have accepted the sacrifice that was made for us, right? Because it's a choice between admitting you're a sinner, humbling yourself, admitting you're a sinner, accepting everything that God has done that's quite evident is true, right? Or you just keep on in your sin and you be stubborn and you be separated from God for eternity, knowing that it's all true. So, are we just sinners doomed for an eternity without God? Is that our identity? It is for some in the world, isn't it? But what Paul is trying to say to the Corinthians right here, he's like, look, you believe. I gave you the gospel. I gave you the truth. I gave it all to you. I gave every bit of it to you, and you believed it. So this is who you are now. This is your identity now. Because of his death, burial, and resurrection, you have a new identity. You are in Christ. Once you were dead, and now you are alive. Praise the Lord. All right? Let's look at verse 13 to 19. Oh, I thought I was going to miss it up there. 13 to 19 says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. See, there was issues with the teaching. They were teaching that nobody can come back from the dead. There were people that just believed it's not possible. All right? So if that's true, he's saying, if that's true, then even Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. And verse 14, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. Circle those two verses in your Bible. Memorize them. Because the reality is, if Jesus did not come out of the grave, then we are all wasting our lives being believers. believing in something that's not true. It's all for nothing. Especially when we sit here on Sunday morning preaching the things that supposedly aren't true. But you and I both know they're true. You and I both know it's a fact that Jesus resurrected from the dead. He's being sarcastic with them. He's like, look, why are you even calling yourself a church if you don't believe this part? Why are you struggling so much to get it right if you don't believe this? What's the point? Verse 17 says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you're still in your sins. You can let that get your attention. You see, that's why the people who cannot or will not accept the resurrection, it's automatic. They have to go all the way and dismiss God's existence altogether. Because you can't have God in his existence as creator without all of this. What kind of God would that be if he doesn't love his creation the way that he does? We all should be just praising the Lord for this knowledge that we have. So we can't take a hold of the gospel and reject the resurrection. That's the big idea. Because we have a new identity in Christ. We're not the same as we were. We're not the same as we were. Conrad was talking about great moments in life. Right? It was 2002, February. Me and my wife got baptized. After living a lot of years without the Lord in my life. And I'm just going to let you know, even in that moment, in that day, I didn't even realize how great it really was. And every day that goes by, every year that goes by, I realize more and more just how amazing that day was. And great ain't the word for it, if you think about it. Okay? Because without that, I mean, I've told y'all before, I was on Plan W for my life. I went through A to W, and they all failed. They all failed me, my plans. It wasn't only until we surrendered to the Lord as our Savior, our victor, the one who gave us life, because we suddenly realized that we were dead in our sins. It took a preacher to come to my house and point his finger in my chest and say, you are this. You're dead. Love you, bye. That's pretty much how it went. And we were baptized the next Sunday because somebody had to point out what I couldn't see and get my attention about what I needed. And good news, what you need is available because of the resurrection. And here we are. So yeah, there's great moments in life. All right, let's look at verse 29. This gets a little interesting. I know what Paul might be talking about here. But there's a little bit of debate that I've discovered. So he's still talking. He's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about how that applies to the believer. And he says this one comment. Let's look at verse 28 with it. It says, when all things are subject to him, then the Son himself also will be subject to the one who subjected all things to him so that God may be in all. Right? So here's what it says. Otherwise, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why then are they baptized for them? What? That's weird, isn't it, for him to say something like that? Because what does it mean when he's saying to them, when he says, those who are baptized for the dead? Now, some believe that Paul is addressing a problem in the church at Corinth. Because they thought that they could be baptized for people that had already died. Bad doctrine. Bad understanding of how things work in the kingdom of God. And maybe that's true. It could be, and I'm not saying it is, I'm just saying it could be that when he's saying this, he's speaking about the people who were baptized because they believe the gospel. Are they still not being baptized for the dead? Because they're dead in their sins. I lean towards the first one because the Corinthians had a lot of problems. But it could be the second. It could be both. But let's not get lost in that, because what he said was, if the dead are not raised at all, in other words, if the resurrection isn't real, then why then are they baptized at all? Why are any of us baptized into Christ? Why are any of us willing to repent and cry out to the Lord? Why do we even study the Word of God to learn about salvation if it doesn't exist? If Jesus' resurrection wasn't real. What's the purpose of this Sunday morning? Some people might think it's so that we don't forget about the resurrection. I don't believe that's the case. We celebrate the resurrection every Sunday, y'all. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday. Every Monday is Easter Monday. And Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every day is Easter for the believers. Every day. That's why we worship the Lord. That's why we live our lives as a sacrifice of worship, because of Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection. That's why we do it. That's the purpose. Otherwise, what is the purpose of your Christian life? If the resurrection isn't real, there's no purpose behind it, and other than just to make you feel good about yourself. Right? That's a pretty elaborate lie that's lasted for a long time, right? Even the best lies don't last that long. If Jesus did not raise from the dead, then he's not Lord and Savior. And we all are still sinners. So why would we live the way we do if that was true? I mean, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, he's just another man that was killed on the cross, claiming that he was, but he wasn't. And we have no hope. We're all sinners. Maybe we just have no reason to do anything except for look after yourself for the rest of your life and enjoy it while you can, because there's no hope. You see how serious the resurrection is, right? You need the resurrection. We need the resurrection. But he did rise from the dead. He has conquered death. And he is Lord and King. And we do have a purpose as believers. Our Christian life is not lived in vain. I want to say something about that. I used to read comments like that in Scripture where Paul would talk about My preaching is not in vain. My witness is not in vain. Everything you do for Jesus is not in vain, and it's all true. How many times do we pray for, witness to, talk to, share the gospel with our friends and neighbors and family who just refuse to accept this truth? And we get frustrated and discouraged, right? To the point where we're just like, you know what? I don't even know if I should keep doing it because it's not helping. It's making things worse, actually, because now I don't even have my friend anymore. Or now my family's all divided because I keep talking about Jesus and nobody wants to hear it. And it gets frustrating. And I think what Paul's trying to tell the Corinthians is like, okay, yeah, that's all true, but it's worth it because it's true about the resurrection. So it's worth it because... what if that next time they respond in the way that God would have them respond? What if it's that next time that they say, you know what, maybe this resurrection thing is real. Maybe Easter is more important than just clocking in on Sunday morning Easter every year. Maybe it's more important than just some fairy tale that I thought was a fairy tale. Maybe it's the real truth and I really need a Savior. I believe that many people know this truth, but they're wrestling with it so much. And I believe that God is going to get them to where they can't refuse him one day. And because of our witness, because of your witness, because of whatever sermons are preached, or because somebody loved on them, or just because a bunch of people are praying for them, they're going to say, what if Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection is real and it applies to me? And as soon as a person says, what if, God has his big toe in the door of their heart. And once that happens, y'all, it's almost over for them. Praise the Lord. It wasn't long after I got saved and started growing in Christ and learning about all this stuff in a deeper way. There was a couple of moments where I wasn't mad at God. I wasn't mad at God, but I was like, Lord, how come you didn't kick the door down? Why? What? You know I'm stubborn. Why'd you wait so long? It's because God was not going to force himself on me. He wants me to love him. He wants me to accept him. He wants me to believe his truth. He wants me to know his love in a real way. And it's only by my own free will that I would actually do that. And the same is true for everybody else. So our witness and our life in Christ and our worship time and our prayers, none of them are in vain because of the resurrection. Because the resurrection is what makes it all true. It's the big fat holy period at the end of the sentence. You know the sentence. God says, I love you. Because if Jesus doesn't come out of the grave, how do we know that God loves us? Because we have no Savior. It's amazing. It's just amazing, y'all. All right, let's land a plane here. 54. Let's just skip over to verse 54 here. This is where y'all get your amens and stuff out and get them ready. It says, but when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. All right, I'm gonna start over. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? And then it says in verse 56, the sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he does that because Jesus conquered death in the grave. Death is hard to think about, even if you're saved. Nobody wants to think about physical death. Nobody likes to go to funerals. Nobody likes to be at the graveyards. Nobody likes it because it's a permanent thing that we have no control over. But spiritual death. If you want to claim victory and you want to escape that death, God has given you all the control in the world. He's put it in your hands. God said, I have conquered death with my son on the cross. He died, he went in the grave, and I brought him back from the dead so that you could have eternal life. And all you have to do is decide if you believe that or not. And if you do, then you surrender to that, and then you just continue your life growing in that. You step into eternal life with Jesus. Isn't that amazing, y'all? It's so simple. It really is so simple. That's why I was a little bit frustrated. I think I was frustrated with myself when I was saying to God, why didn't you just kick the door in? Why'd you wait so long? And the Lord's just like, I've been waiting on you. I've been waiting on you. And it's true. God's waiting on people today. God's been waiting on anybody and everybody who would believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he went to the cross and died for the sins of man willingly. And when he was dead, they put him in the grave. 3 days later, he's out of the grave. He's alive. He's walking around on a planet. Hundreds of people saw him. You can't dispute it. There's been a lot of people studying about it to prove that it was wrong, and nobody's been able to do it because it's true. It's a fact. This whole thing is all about the fact that God loves you. Swallow that. Right? We talked about it this morning in our sunrise service about God's amazing grace. as the sun was coming out, and we were reading about Mary going to the grave to take care of a dead body, and thinking about that he wasn't there. He was not in the grave because he had come back from the dead. And all of that is forgiveness for my sins and your sins. I still remember what I'm forgiven of. I think the Lord intends for it to be that way. We're going to finish up right here. Verse 50. I'm going to go to 50. And in 58. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. You want me to say that in 2025 Western North Carolina language? If you're not saved, you can't be with God. That's what that says. And the only way to be saved is to believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he went to the cross and died on the cross. He's in the grave for 3 days and he's resurrected from the dead physically. For you. The next thing you need to believe is that you're a sinner. You've offended God by sinning. And after that, it's pretty easy. You just throw your hands up and repent. Say, Lord, I just need you. It's all been done for us. Right? And it's just, he's just saying, look, you can't inherit the kingdom of God if you're in the flesh, y'all. And the rest of us, those who are saved, that's for those who aren't saved. The rest of us, let's just move on down to 58. Man, what more? I thought I had it on there. Look what this says. Church, believers, those of us who embrace this truth, we do our best to let God live it out in our lives with our surrender. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. Keep working for the Lord. Keep living your life as if someone died for you. Keep sharing the gospel with people. Because one day Jesus will come back. One day there will be an end to the perishable. There'll be an end to that one day. It's not enough to just say I'm a Christian and then live like it doesn't matter what we do. Live like there's no truth to what we believe. And let everybody figure it out. There ain't a bunch of different ways, y'all. There's one way, and that's through our Savior on the cross, in the grave, and resurrected. Faith in that. The Bible teaches us that if you believe this is true, then you should confess you're a sinner. You should repent. You should confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. You should be baptized for forgiveness of your sin. It says all that. Because the resurrection is important to us too. We don't have life without the resurrection. And you don't have life without death. I love you, the Lord loves you. I'm going to be done because I know y'all got the rest of the day to live for the Lord should he give it to us. All right, so we're going to stand together and sing. If you're visiting with us, we thank you for being here and we love you for it. Hope you've been blessed by being here. If you're not saved today, today's the day. There's no other day to wait. You should just consider, is all this true? And if it is true, if you believe it's true, then we'll help you with that. Come tell us. We'll help you. Otherwise, if you're saved, let's just sing like we're saved. Let's stand together and sing.